Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. And again, it is just an amazing time to have you all here with me as we try to transverse this crazy universe that is unfolding before us. We're going to get deep into a dangerous and compelling show today. Now, as many have noted, my last show on Bill Clinton is a rapist and other triggers. I pretty much forecast exactly the psychological warfare highlights that they were going to cover in the debates. And, you know, no one's ever as surprised as myself, but I've heard many shows around the world are debating this show that I did. So if you haven't checked it out, the Bill Clinton is a Rapist and Other Triggers, it's there on freemantv.com or on YouTube for your listening pleasure. Now, for your viewing pleasure, I did include a pornographic picture of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky lookalikes. And I felt the need to kind of explain this a little bit. This is something that I felt was historical. So I included it in the artwork. I didn't know I was going to when I made the show, or I would have made this announcement then. But I have been carrying around this porn picture of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky lookalikes since 1998, okay? I had that thing on a floppy disk, and I placed it over into a drive, and I got it onto a CD, and here it is, lo and behold, still in my library from 1998. And so I felt that that pornographic picture of Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky lookalikes was historical and necessary for understanding the psychological warfare that was going on at that time and the psychological warfare going on now. So realize that that picture was produced in a professional manner at the time of Bill Clinton's sexcapades, that's hard to say, and was put out there in the public eye, full on, you know, full pornography, folks. You know, it was there. So anyway, that is why there is a pornographic picture included with that interview. So now the things that I had discussed and covered, and we're going to get into with the guest here tonight that I will unveil in just a minute, were the ideas of psychological warfare that were leading to the destruction of America and the dangers involved in the truth movement. So first, I discussed the disgracing of the president, the idea of Bill Clinton being brought down. And of course, Bill Clinton as a rapist has been a major meme through the Alex Jones conglomeration there, even offering thousands and thousands of dollars for you to get that statement on the air. So disgracing the president was the first psychological warfare I talked about. Voter fraud and rigged elections was the next thing that I mentioned, with the forcing of W into office and making it obvious. The birther issue was the next step in this conclusion, and the idea that we have elected a non-constitutionally viable president, have brought in the last American president with W, and now we have a Muslim communist foreigner running our country. And this birther issue, you know, boiled up in the debates with Trump saying he was the one that got Obama to bring out his birth certificate. Okay, crazy stuff. And of course, 9/11 truth, which did not boil into the debates, but we'll get to that. And then the one that really shocked me was me bringing in the Jesuit oath and the idea of what the Jesuits were doing involved in this situation. And as we will discuss with our guest tonight, Josh Reeves, that Alfred E. Smith Catholic amazing roast of Hillary, and then Hillary coming out and calling out her Jesuit connections with her vice president running mate Kane. So all of this and more, included with the psychological warfare and neurolinguistic programming involved in the truth movement, tonight we are talking with none other than Josh Reeves. His show is The Global Reality Show, and his website is theglobalreality.com. He is the producer of such films as The Secret Right, Reality of Illusion, The Lost Secrets of Ancient America, and the one that we're going to get into right now, The Spellcasters, Hollywood, Scientology, the CIA, and the Truth Movement. So, Josh, it is wonderful to have you on the Free Zone.
Well, it's an honor to be here with you, Freeman, and I'm just pumped up and excited just from that intro that you did, because I've been following you even for years before I was even doing my own work, and to see this line that you've connected, and it's absolutely true that, you know, people think of these psychological operations and they think of this stuff just in the modern incarnations of it, but what you've done is actually shown that all of this stuff, this has been ongoing for decades and decades, not just recently. And I think that that's something that people have not really come to grip with yet. So I'm really excited about this show.
Awesome. Well, folks, you might not know this, but Josh and I go way back. And was I your first guest on your podcast or something?
You were the first person I ever interviewed before I even had my own show. And you are what led me to being offered my own first show ever. I mean, it was that show that was the first interview, because I'd met you a year before in Dallas in 2006 was where I first met you at the premiere of Alex Jones' film, Terror Storm. And yeah. I went because at that time I was trying to make my first film, and it was originally going to be about secret societies. And so my only real goal for that film was to interview you and to talk to you about the elements of secret societies and stuff, but that ended up turning into something else and it didn't end up happening. But yeah, when you came on as my first guest, that really is what helped me get my first show. And then of course, when we started up the Oracle Broadcasting thing, I helped bring you over there and get you going too. So it's just been a great back and forth through all these years, Freeman. And again, I'm glad to be here and ready to talk about these important subjects.
All right. And folks, if you don't know, actually, Josh was the voice behind the intro of the original Free Zone. So when you hear beating out across the galaxy, and this is conspiracy on the wild side, that is Josh Reeves. So I love that you carried on with me throughout every show for years and years. There you were.
Absolutely. And again, it's one of those things to see. People just can't wrap their minds around how long this stuff has been going on. And that's been one of the craziest things for me, Freeman, is going back and seeing, wait a minute, this stuff didn't, a lot of this psychological manipulation and the psychological warfare, then this stuff has, people just can't understand that something was planned and put into place 30, 40 years ago has stretched and was started to continue with what we're currently experiencing, and it absolutely was.
Well, Josh, when I predicted 9/11, I said, don't freak out. This is all for your reaction. And the burning question that we all have in our minds, I know the audience is waiting to hear the answer to this, is Alex Jones demon-possessed?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It's hard to explain that out of the context of what I talk about in the film.
Yes, but I did pull this out of Spellcasters, and I hope that you will share this story with our audience.
Well, you want me to tell the story I tell in the film?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it's kind of interesting, that story, because it happened at that event where I first met you. That's what's interesting about it. So you were actually there for this, which is very interesting. You know, at that time back in 2006, I was very much, gung-ho. I was really just kind of getting started. I had been researching this stuff for a long, long time, but I had never been active or doing anything or making any films or doing a radio show, but I was really wanting to get into it at that time. And so that was what going to that event was all about for me. I first met you and several other people that ended up being, you know, instrumental in me getting a radio show later on at that show. And so I was very gung-ho. I didn't have any, at that point, had any doubts about Alex Jones or anybody. I just thought everybody was on the up and up. I didn't suspect there was any sort of, chicanery or anything like that going on. I just was gung-ho and 100% believed in it. And I went to this Terror Storm thing, and I was kind of waiting at the bar, in line at the bar to get a drink. And I'm waiting, I'm just kind of sitting there, and I look over. And when I look over to the left, and I see there's like a little old little ticket stall, like the box office thing. And I look over and I see Alex Jones sitting there. And I'm like, whoa, and he's staring at me. And he's not just staring at me. It's like he's staring through me. And people can see me. It really, if you watch the film, my new film, The Spellcasters, you'll really see me describe this. I do it on tape, on video, which is the first time. You kind of have to see my face to get the full effect of this. But I look over, and I see him, and he's like, he's looking at me, and he's gritting his teeth, and he's going, and he's like, I mean, it's like the most evil way anyone's ever looked at me in my life. And I'm looking around. I'm kind of like, is this a joke? I'm looking around. I'm like, who's he doing that to? I look back and I'm like, wait a minute, he's looking at me. And I mean, it looked like he was staring through me. I've never had a chill or just a fear run through my body the way I felt when I saw him. And so I kept like kind of trying to ignore him, and I'd look away and I'd stand there just kind of waiting in line, waiting to get a drink. And I looked over and he's still, I mean, I don't know how long this went on, maybe 5-10 minutes, but it was like he was just fixated on me. And when I looked around, this was the strangest thing. No one else was noticing this. It was almost like time stopped or something, because when I looked around, no one else, I was like, somebody else has got to be seeing this. No one else was seeing it. No one else was noticing. He was looking dead at me. And it just completely freaked me out. I ended up leaving the event early, and I didn't know at the time how to process it. I was like, this is weird. Why would he be? I mean, I'm a fan of this guy. You know, why would this happen? And then about a year later, I, of course, had you on, and I was guest hosting on a radio show for someone that had gone out of town. And I was like, well, I got to pull together something. I need to have something that's going to have an impact, you know, so people know I was here. So, of course, I was like, well, Freeman. I mean, there's nobody else better that's going to have an impact. If you bring Freeman on and he doesn't wow your audience, then they're dead in the water anyway. So I brought you on. I ended up getting my own show after that. And very quickly, I had on a guy by the name of Professor Peter Del Scott. We started talking about, you know, the standard truther type of stuff, CFR, Trilateral Commission. And he interrupted me during this interview and said, well, there's this group called the CMP, the Council for National Policy, and they're actually more powerful than those groups. Nobody talks about them, and they were started in Dallas, and they have all these connections. And I was just immediately, like, you know, shocked and taken aback by this, because I thought at that time I knew a lot, and boy, I didn't really know anything, to be honest with you. And I thought I knew everything there was to know, so I started researching into this group, the Council for National Policy, and lo and behold, I started finding all of these people who were members and associated with this group, not just one or two, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all these people, like Paul Craig Roberts and all these people, Jerome Corsi, who had been regular guests on the Alex Jones Show, who were members of this secretive right-wing group that meets like 3 times a year in utter secrecy. They don't make their current membership list available to the public. And I was just saying, well, wait a minute. Every time I would bring it up, somebody would get nervous about it. Somebody would get freaked out. And I was like, well, there's got to be something, you know, something to this. So I continued digging. And that culminated in my series of films, The Secret Right, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And as you mentioned earlier, then after that, I went to start working on the Lost Secrets of Ancient America films. And I was kind of ready for a break and ready to go away from those type of subjects. So, you know, I once I got through those films, I wanted to make this film really about mind control and about Hollywood and kind of a different element. You've really covered those subjects for years and years and years. And I didn't want to go down the same roads that you had gone down, but I really wanted to answer this question that people had for years and years and years to me about Scientology and Hollywood and the rest of it. And once I started getting into that element of it, and I started finding all of these connections that connected to Scientology and major people within the so-called truth movement, and learning about the Thetans and how these Thetans are actually what they tell are dead alien souls are actually demons, and how this how Scientology is 100% based in black magic. It's rooted in black magic, the connections with L. Ron Hubbard, Aleister Crowley, the rest of it. All this is detailed in the film. And then I learned that in OT level 3 of Scientology, the term prison planet, which Alex Jones used for one of his websites, was first coined by L. Ron Hubbard in OT level 3. And this is where you start to really get into this idea of soul cracking, what L. Ron Hubbard described as soul cracking. And we have clips and interviews and stuff with his son in the film, The Spellcasters, where he's talking about this soul cracking, where the various levels and the wording of the information within Scientology actually, as you go up the levels of the OT levels, actually cracks open your soul and allows these thetans to come in and be controlled. And that's when it started dawning on me that as I was making the film, The Spellcasters, that wait a second here, what I experienced, and based on what reports that other people have had and experiences with this, that story and that experience I had with Alex Jones absolutely lines up with this idea of these thetans being activated. And then once you get up to the highest levels, you eventually become completely controlled by these entities. And I found this same stuff, and I know you probably have too, in my work into Freemasonry and looking into that and the various degrees and how you go up the stages of that, and eventually you're just completely controlled by these entities. So, I mean, it's kind of a short explanation and a short answer, and I get more into it in long ways in the film, but yeah, I think that they're definitely, it sounds kooky and it sounds crazy when you don't think, you know, hear it in the context of the rest of the information. But thetans, demons, all this stuff, they're really all the same thing. And I think I definitely experienced that in that experience that I had in 2006 there with Alex Jones when you were there.
Oh, that would scare me having him growl at me like that. Oh, man. You know, now we have the Alex Jones Trump connection, and he's just pushing this down. And honestly, I don't know if you saw the Catholic dinner roast, but it definitely seemed as if Donald Trump had been taken over by thetans and was, oh my God. I mean, I couldn't believe the things he was saying. Here's Donald Trump, Hillary, and the Catholic diocese, and, you know, the cardinal, right? And all these high-level people like the governor, the mayor, and everyone in New York. And Donald Trump comes out and says, well, you know, Hillary's such a liar. Here she is sitting in amongst all you Catholics pretending not to hate Catholics. And, I mean, the whole audience just cringed as this went down. So you shocked me with Spellcasters and some of these correlations that you have found with Donald Trump, thetans, and even, as you've been describing, with Alex Jones. Can you get into that?
Well, there's a weird sort of correlation between all of this, and one of the things that first came on my radar with it, I didn't really connect the dots on it until I saw Louis Farrakhan on the Alex Jones show. And here is Louis Farrakhan, who just right before that had talked about how black people needed to go out and kill police. And then very shortly after that, we had that kind of incident happen here in Dallas. And then he's on the Alex Jones show, Louis Farrakhan. I'm like, why is Louis Farrakhan on the Alex Jones show, number one? And number two, why is he promoting Donald Trump? He gave Donald Trump an endorsement on the Alex Jones show. And it just seemed very odd to me. And I can remember when I first started on air back in 2007, there was a clip going around that really was setting the truth movement on fire. And it was this clip of Farrakhan, and he was essentially sounding like, you know, many truthers. He was talking about Zionists and Jews and talking about, you know, the World Bank and one world monetary system. And it, really at that time, I was already suspect of that because I had heard, you know, rumors and stuff for years that Farrakhan had been connected to the CIA and that he had a hand in the role of the death of Malcolm X and all this stuff. So I just was like, this does not seem like somebody who would be on our side. And then I started finding out about, and I'd already at that point made the connections with Alex Jones and many truthers and Scientology and the connections there. But to find out that Farrakhan had not only endorsed Trump on his show, but actively told the Nation of Islam that that they all needed to be audited. And then we have this clip in the film where he's talking about being audited and using Scientology techniques. And he literally says on stage in front of all these people that when he was audited, demons literally came out of him. That literally they took demons out of him. And he admits this on stage. And that's when I started saying, wait a second here. This is not a coincidence. He's promoting all the Scientology stuff. We already have all these connections with Alex Jones and whatnot to Scientology. Now here is Farrakhan, and he's on the Alex Jones show promoting Trump. And so I said, okay, well, I guess the final thing here is to see if there's any Scientology connections with Trump. If we got that, then I think we're going to have a very definite picture here of what's really going on. And we're going to really, really know if he's being controlled by somebody other than just, you know, handlers and that kind of thing. So that's when I started looking, and lo and behold, all these stories started coming out about one of his, I think it was one of his campaign advisors or something like that. People can see the information in the film, but he was actually in charge of running the big new movie production studio that Scientology has launched. It's one of Trump's main guys. Then you have stuff like the Trump University being set up almost identically in its levels and stages and everything to Scientology. It was almost mirrored from that 100%. And then Britain's top Scientology, like the one of the richest guys in Britain who lives in Camelot Castle, comes out and puts $87,000 on the idea of Trump, guaranteeing Trump is going to win. And I'm sitting there going, why is it? It just seems odd that someone who is a Scientologist would be the guy to be guaranteeing, beyond any shadow of a doubt, putting tons of his own money on the line, that Trump would absolutely win. So that's when I first started to see this connection and go, okay, there's something here that's beyond this. And of course, what we detail in the film is the whole history of MK Ultra and psychological warfare. And you mentioned earlier, the connection to all of these triggers and the psychological warfare, and you mentioned the birther issue, and that was something that I came across in my work in Lost Secrets of Ancient America, but The Secret Right Volume 2, and the senior military advisor and analyst for Fox News, Paul Vallely, was involved with Michael Aquino in the creation of really the manual of psychological warfare called Mind War. And in this Mind War documents that people can go look up, the term InfoWars, information warfare, is first used in those documents. And if you read these documents and you read about Mind War and what they wanted to do, it sounds 100% like a description of what they've done with Alex Jones and that whole end of it. And then to find out that this guy, Paul Vallely, has been a guest on Alex Jones' show, and being the senior military advisor for Fox News, he was single-handedly the guy that created and came up with the whole birther idea and birther issue in the first place. So we have the evidence that directly connects the birther trigger, as you put it, to actual military psychological warfare. So, ladies and gentlemen, when Freeman tells you these things, when Freeman tells you that this is psychological warfare and these are triggers, it's not his opinion. It's an absolute fact.
Well, MK Ultra really has become such common knowledge. It's the preface for a show called Stranger Things, and MK Ultra is, you know, folks, is the height of mind control, or the, you know, really when it started to become a formal science. And since this is our Halloween show, Josh, there's really nothing scarier than Kathy O'Brien's discussion of what Hillary Clinton did to her. You have any comments on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I didn't. I try to do things in my films where I don't try and retread over things people have already tread over. But absolutely, I mean, that's definitely one. She talks about these different hand signals. There's just so much stuff. I remember when I first heard about Kathy O'Brien, I was skeptical at first. But then the more that I started listening to what she had to say and hearing how it tied in with things I knew to be absolutely true, I knew she wasn't just making it up. She talks about, you know, the Clintons being at the forefront of this mind control stuff and being already decided, all of this stuff being decided, that the Clintons would be in power as early as the very early 1980s. And that all this stuff had already been in place. So, yeah, absolutely, the evidence for that is there, Freeman.
Yeah, we have that amazing film. I think it was, his name jumped right out of my head. Larry King, I believe, was interviewing Bill Clinton before he was elected, congratulating him on going to become the president, and what a great time he'll have working for Rupert Murdoch. Then we have another video clip. And all of this, folks, you can see in my video, Anna Nicole Brittany and Mind Control. At the end of it, you'll see Bill Clinton speaking as a six-year-old child. I mean, as a man, but speaking like he was a six-year-old child. Already president under mind control. You'll see him in a hypnagogic state. You will see all of this, you know, and then I just want to announce that Kathy is releasing a new book right now. You can get the limited edition. It's called PTSD or Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, Time to Heal. And I guarantee I will get Kathy back on the show because we have been great friends for a good time now. And she is sending me a copy. So we'll get to that. Absolutely. But when it, folks, if you pick up Transformation of America and read that, it, I mean, it dispels anything you thought about our political spectrum. Now we have Josh Reeves here with the global reality, and we're getting the Scientology aspect to this, and we're back to black magic again, which Kathy also describes in the book. And the idea is that Scientology, I mean, according to L. Ron Hubbard Jr. in his Penthouse article, you know, Scientology is nothing but a black magic ritual spread out over a long period of time. So we have already brought up the concept of Thetans, I want to get deeper into this a bit more so that the audience can understand what we're really getting to. So we got Trump, Trump University, and all the correlations that go with that to Scientology. We have Alex Jones, just, you know, degrees away from Scientology with all of his guests and the people that lead him into this. And we have Farrakhan with the race wars, race riots, Islam, mentioning Dianetics directly to his congregation and getting into the concept of raising the Klefot or demons up out of your soul. And then, of course, the Michael Lacino connection of Satanism into the mind war. Oh, my God, Josh, you know, take it from there. Start where you need to go, and I'll keep guiding you along the way.
Well, it's kind of difficult to even know where to start with all this stuff. But the connections of finding all of these things and how they hook together. When I first was working on The Secret Rite, Volume 1 and Volume 2, I had found these little connections to Scientology and people within the Council for National Policy and the Truth Movement and stuff, but I just at that time wasn't really aware yet and didn't really know how it all connected. I couldn't really see the forest for the trees. But once I started getting into this element of it and getting into the end of learning about Scientology, really how I found the connections with the Scientology stuff was there's a group called CCHR, the Citizens Committee of Human Rights. And this is essentially a group, a CIA front organization that's an offshoot of Scientology. And again, people have to understand that if you're a Scientologist, you are not allowed to associate or even read books or information or anything like that that is not approved from the higher ups in the church. And when I started finding out that all of these sacred cows within the Truth Movement all had their information 100% approved by David Miscavige and Scientology, I started to say, wait a second here. I mean, how does that seem possible? Because anybody else is considered an SP or a suppressive person. And yet we have this Citizens Committee of Human Rights, and you have all these names of prominent people, Alex Jones, Jim Mars, you had Mike Adams, George Nori. I'm trying to remember who else. We have the complete, you can go and look up the complete list. Even Michael Moore was on that list as well. And these are all people who have been, because of their stance on pharmaceutical drugs that lines up with Scientology's stance on that, they are considered not to be suppressive people. And then you start looking into these connections as I detail, and how when L. Ron Hubbard was in the OSS prior to the formation of the Central Intelligence Agency in 1947, the creation of Scientology and the creation of MK Ultra happened at the exact same time. And his job and his duty after transitioning out of the Navy and into the OSS and what would eventually become secret operations for the CIA, was to find this information that would allow the usage of black magic to be incorporated into the MK Ultra mind control program and creating what they called robot slaves and the rest of it. And it really all started from the work that the Nazis had done just a few years previously. And once we started bringing over people like Dr. Robert Strughold and whatnot during Project Paperclip and bringing them into the United States, we started mining these scientists for their data and their information. And this is when the U.S. government first started learning that they were, because we'd already known that the Nazis and whatnot were heavily into black magic, but they weren't aware that they were using this black magic in experiments towards creating these robotically controlled, mind-controlled slave people. So once they found that out, that was the mission of the United States government, was to create their own. So L. Ron Hubbard was then sent to England to infiltrate the OTO and to meet up with Aleister Crowley and to find the information that he had to then bring back and use in what would eventually become MK Ultra. So when he goes to England, he meets up with Crowley. Crowley gives him the magical initiate name, Freighter H. For many years, people didn't know who this mysterious Freighter H was that was referred to, and it later came out that it was, in fact, L. Ron Hubbard. And he had discussed the idea of doing a ritual that Crowley had first described in his Moonchild work. And Crowley had informed him that, well, there's a guy in Hollywood, Pasadena, California, and he just set up the first branch of the OTO there, and he's trying to do this. You know, maybe you should meet up with him. And so, of course, L. Ron Hubbard comes back to the United States, meets up with Jack Parsons. They end up doing what is known as the Babylon working ritual. And then essentially, long and short of it is, L. Ron Hubbard runs off with his wife, and then Parsons dies mysteriously. And then from there, we see the rise of Dianetics and the rise of the MK Ultra program. And this is really where the formation of black magic and the whole instituting that into the creation of mind control is first started to happen. And it's amazing when you look at some of the early MK Ultra documents and you see wordings and things that are in the early Dianetics writings that are word for word verbatim taken and are exactly the same. And then that's mirrored in the levels of Scientology and the levels of the various incantations and works of Aleister Crowley, where they enumerate them. Instead of starting with one, they still both start with zero. Almost the exact same phraseologies and words, word for word, are used in this. So again, this is not opinion that black magic and mind control and all this stuff, as you mentioned with Kathy O'Brien, none of this stuff is opinion or anything else. I mean, this is factual stuff. And one of the things that I saw recently was a clip with Tom Cruise. There's a famous interview, Scientology interview with Tom Cruise. And one of the things he says in there, he says, well, we just got a KSW. We got a KSW. And you're like, what is he saying, KSW? When you find out, that means keep Scientology working. We have to KSW, keep Scientology working. And one of the things that Crowley talked about extensively was the use of language and using phraseologies and whatnot that would have one meaning on the surface, but a completely different meaning to the profane and to the uninitiated. And then the initiated would know exactly what it really meant. So that statement, KSW, keep Scientology working, is not just a statement on we have to keep it going and we have to keep it moving forward. KSW, keep Scientology working, is a reference to like the Babylon working. Working means magical black magic in use and in practice. And that's exactly what Tom Cruise is saying is there. We have to keep the black magic working. We have to keep it going. And as you mentioned, L. Ron Hubbard's own son, who was supposed to be next in line, you know, he was the guy who they were bringing up as the heir apparent. But once he started seeing that this stuff was really using people as just slaves, I mean, nothing more than that. And L. Ron Hubbard himself, even there's a quote in the film, L. Ron Hubbard himself said a very effective mind control system could be derived from Scientology that would turn people into willing slaves. And that's what I think, and people can see this in my film, The Spellcasters. What my summation of my worry is, what I'm seeing is, and I think you're onto this, I think we're probably going to be moving towards this. I'm just assuming that, but I don't know if you've, I think you've come to grips with this. It seems to me that they want to use this beyond just their individual mind control slaves and the people to do their work, as you mentioned, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or whoever it may be. What's alarming me is that it seems like this wants, they want to unleash this on everyone. That's where my concern is right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, Hollywood and the media is the way that they are slipping the Satanism into our homes, folks. And you highlighted Kubrick. And I just, since this is our Halloween show, I did go and watch The Shining on the big screen last night. And I noticed a lot of amazing things that I had not noticed before when watching it on my VHS. And that is, you know, Stanley Kubrick was encoding secret things in his films to get a message out to us, to try and, you know, get the secret message for us to understand. And as I'm watching The Shining, I realize that the first time they show you inside of Danny's room, the little boy in the movie, it says Monarch on his wall on a big poster. And then when Jack and Wendy are talking, they are actually showing you a mirrored reflection of the scene, but they never show you that it's in a mirror. You just happen to notice that the wording on Jack's shirt is in reverse. And right as they're sitting at the home discussing moving out to this creepy hotel out in wherever, supposedly, I guess, Colorado, you see Wendy sitting there reading none other than The Catcher in the Rye.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not. Okay, I knew all the other stuff, but I did not know that.
It blew me away, Josh. I was like, oh, my God. So let's take this to the next level, because neuro-linguistic programming is a form of black magic. And this idea of The Catcher in the Rye was beamed into us so that we would avoid the topic of conspiracy theory through Mel Gibson's film. And I remember how mad I was when conspiracy theory came out, because I was already deep into HAARP research. And here they were talking about HAARP in the conspiracy theory film with Mel Gibson, but they were discussing it as a space-based weapon system as opposed to this ground-based antenna array, and making, of course, Mel Gibson's character absolutely nuts. So The Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger, neuro-linguistic programming, and Kubrick. Go wherever you want.
Well, God, this is just, you're hammering me today.
I know,
Freeman. This is just unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, all of those things are totally connected. And I did not know the reference to The Shining there. But there's also one, I can't remember what it is. Maybe you can remember. There's also, and this ties in directly with your work, Freeman. There's also something in Danny's room. There's a Disney reference there too in Danny's room. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He was wearing a very creepy Mickey Mouse sweater.
Well, there's another one. There's something on the wall. It's, I want to say,
I'm trying to remember what the other poster was. I remember noting it, and then
it might be a sticker or something. I think it might be on the door. I'm just going from memory here. There's, I think it's Dopey Dwarf. That's what it is. There's like a either a sticker bedroom door that's Dopey Dwarf, and when you'll see it, and then they go back to another shot, and it's not there. But I just, you know, with all the work you've done into the Disney mind control stuff and just seeing that, I was just like, wait a second, there's definitely got to be something to that. But yeah, I made a film series earlier in the year. It was a mini film series called Secret Messages, and that got into some of the connections with Kubrick and the rest of it. And there's the connections with Scientology and Kubrick are just absolutely unbelievable. But we'll get into that in a second. But oh gosh, I don't even know where to begin on this. The J.D. Salinger, you just completely blew my mind with telling me that she's reading Catcher in the Rye, because that was something when I was making The Spellcasters, I'd already known about, like you mentioned, I'd already known about all the Catcher in the Rye stuff and how all of these what appear to be mind control slaves and mind control assassins have all been found with copies of this book and whatnot. And of course, we knew about the connections to J.D. Salinger and his work with Tavistock and Henry Kissinger and the rest of it. But the big shock for me, especially after already learning all of the connections to black magic, MK Ultra, Scientology, the CIA, the rest of it, to learn that J.D. Salinger was a Scientologist and was good friends with L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, again, that's one of those moments where you think you know a lot of stuff and then you find something else out and you're like, wait a second. That just, to me, tied it all together and really just smashed any doubts that I might have had about these connections to Scientology and mind control and the rest of it. Finding out J.D. Salinger was personal friends with L. Ron Hubbard, and that was definitely that aha moment where, okay, that's the connection. This is about using, you know, this, what appears to be one thing. This is exactly what Catcher in the Rye is. It appears on the surface to the profane to be one thing, but when you start reading it and you look at it from a knowledge-based perspective, then you start to see that it's this story of this guy who tries to get into this secret society and then fails and then tries again and ultimately ends up getting into the secret society. And what's the big secret that he finds out once he gets in there? He finds out that this secret society is trying to take over the world and that they want to kill anyone who tries to stop them. So it was just a huge mind-blowing thing. And, you know, as you mentioned, Kubrick had tried to indicate, and really The Shining was his first attempt to do that. The first attempt to do it was The Shining. The second attempt was Full Metal Jacket. If you watch Full Metal Jacket, people, I think, are watching that film just like they watched The Shining, and they're looking at it from one perspective, and that's really the only perspective they see it as. But go back and watch Full Metal Jacket again and look at it through the eyes of Mind Control and MK Ultra, and you'll really start to see that that's the picture he was trying to paint in here, is this idea of people being under mind control and acting a certain way. But he, after that movie, he pretty much just decided not to make any films for a long time.
Vivian Kubrick did the soundtrack for that one, didn't she?
Yes, that was his daughter, Vivian Kubrick, who did the soundtrack for that. Absolutely.
Also a special guest with Alex Jones.
Yes. That was mind-blowing for me to find out that she lives here in Dallas. You know, there's just so many more things that I find here about this city, and things like the first celebrity center that they ever had.
Was she a Scientologist?
Yes. Vivian, well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
The first ever celebrity center for Scientologists was built here in Dallas just prior to the assassination of Kennedy. And Vivian Kubrick, who was Stanley Kubrick's daughter and had worked on his films and whatnot, when he finally decided to come back and make another film, he was going to have her do the soundtrack work on the film that eventually was going to be Eyes Wide Shut. And from what I understand, the film originally was going to be something completely different from what he had originally planned it to be. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Tom Cruise, he got into Scientology right around the time that he made the film Days of Thunder. And then a lot of people don't realize that he actually left the church for a good amount of time and was not associated with Scientology and was not a Scientologist at all until right up around the time in which Eyes Wide Shut came out. So once he started working on this film, his daughters, Vivian Kubrick, came up missing. And all of a sudden, as they're trying to find out where she is, they find out that she's ran off to California and has become a Scientologist. This infuriated Kubrick to no end, because he was already aware of their connections to MK Ultra, the CIA, the rest of it, and he really saw that as a direct punishment on him for his attempts to try and alert the public to the things that he had done through The Shining and through Full Metal Jacket and the rest of this. So he, at that point, just said, you know what? I'm gonna expose these guys. I'm gonna let everything that I've experienced and I saw from being an insider and working on 2001 and doing all the fake moon landing stuff, I'm going to expose these clowns. And at that point, that's when you started to see, I think, Tom Cruise was reporting stuff back to Scientology, because once Kubrick dies and once that movie comes out, immediately the next year in 2000 is Tom Cruise is back in Scientology. And within 2 or 3 years, he's jumping on Oprah's couch. He's acting like he's under mind control. And now he's now become, they're moving him to become the titular head of Scientology. And he's even moved into L. Ron Hubbard's former residence in the UK, the former headquarters for Scientology. Tom Cruise is now living there. It's just absolutely mind-blowing to see this line. And again, people, the general public sees these things and they see individual events and everything, and they don't see how they connect. But there's an absolute line between this MK Ultra mind control, the demonic possession, and the rest of it. And you mentioned the connection with Vivian Kubrick to Alex Jones, and that was a very interesting thing. He was a couple of years ago, I think it was the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. That's another strange correlation people can see in my film, The Spellcasters, is the correlations to the Kennedy assassination and Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. And I believe that much of the JFK conspiracy stuff that has been put out there, pretty much all of it up until this point, has been a front and a cover to hide these real information that connects Scientology to the assassination of Kennedy. And that's something that nobody, you know, everybody says that to me. I would have never connected that. Well, I would never have connected it either until we got these memos from L. Ron Hubbard's own journals where he's saying, you know, well, he was killed, but that didn't have anything to do with us. That didn't no fault of ours. And you're reading this, you're going, wait a second, why are you denying that there's a connection to the assassination of Kennedy to Scientology when no one's ever accused you of this? You know, that's like saying, well, I'm not a crackhead. And somebody goes, well, I never accuse you of being a crackhead. Why are you denying being one? Well, you know, it's very suspect. But he had sent Kennedy lots of information on using Scientology auditing for astronauts and the rest of it, and really thought it would be beneficial. And then Kennedy responded to that request by having Scientology raided, having all of their e-meters and everything confiscated. And this absolutely not only angered L. Ron Hubbard, but it angered the other people in the CIA that Hubbard had been working with. All of the people like Alan Dulles and the rest of it that Kennedy fired, and after he threatened to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces after the Bay of Pigs, and finding out that the CIA and the rest of this stuff could pull operations and do things above and beyond the power and control of the commander in chief. This is what angered him. So one of the things that I think has been covered up, and people can see this in the film, are these connections to the Kennedy assassination. Then we can also, you can look at RFK, the assassination there, the connections with people like Anthony J. Hilder to the RFK assassination, Sirhan Sirhan being at a Rosicrucian center just prior to the assassination. There's a long line of all these events that have been transpiring over the years, and people have just not ever connected the dots. And I'm glad that we're finally starting to do that here.
Amazing. Yes. Amazing. Definitely, folks. This is like revelation right here, coming out and letting you know. I mean, what a guilty conscience. It sounds like Hillary, having that guilty conscience and admitting or denying something that no one's even accused you of. That is a clear giveaway.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we're seeing the same antics out of Hillary, and we're winding up this first hour here, Josh. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the campaign trail, what you're seeing in the truth movement, what you feel is happening. Let me perhaps throw in a little bit of thoughts and ideas in that. Well, now you've unveiled this whole Trump one degree away from Scientology. That's a revelation to me now. And I got to factor that one in. And we have this whole fiasco that's going on with Hillary and her lies, and even Trump saying, you know, if I were in power, you would be in jail. This election looks like, to me, if I were going to be a psychological warfare analyst, I would say that Trump is going to win the public vote, that he is going to be a landslide. But what will happen is Hillary will win. And then all of this is just going to culminate in a massive disconnect in the American public and an astounding fiasco that probably ends with World War III. So any thoughts on this campaign trail here, Josh?
I don't think you're too far off of a possible scenario with that statement, Freeman. I really don't. I'm not saying that I think 100% that's what's going to happen, but a variation of what you just said, yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. And I can't stress enough what you stated at the beginning of the show and what you've done with your work. I can't stress enough this idea that, you know, this stuff didn't just begin. What we're seeing now in the campaign trail, what we're seeing now with all this, didn't just begin during this election cycle. It was happening in the last election cycles. It happened at the beginning of the first term of Barack Obama. And as you've detailed in your work, going even back farther than that, back to the original Clintons. And then you could even go back to what was going on with the Clintons when they were, when Bill Clinton was the governor of Arkansas. I mean, this stuff has been happening and going on for many years. But the difference is between those things and now, as you mentioned, is that this seems to be almost like the final curtain. I mean, this really seems to be the final culmination. All of this stuff that you've been detailing for years is finally starting to come to a head. And I've never in my life seen something like this where, you know, we know about divide and conquer operations. We know that they want to divide the American people and keep us fighting amongst ourselves and fighting against each other so we don't band together and fight against them. That's really the ultimate thing. But what really has shown me beyond any shadow of a doubt that what you said earlier about this being massive psychological warfare, what's shown me that that's absolutely true is the fact that this has permeated not just the mainstream, who are usually the hard targets. They have used their systems and their infiltrators and their controlled phonies to have this trickle down and create this divide and conquer within truth seekers and people like yourself and myself who are out there trying to find the truth and put it out to people. They have now effectively divided those people as well and dragged people who were really already aware of the phony left-right paradigm and knowing that all these people left, right, or center, no matter what, are controlled. They have effectively dragged those people back into that system of being on a side. And that has only come as a result of this massive manipulation. And, you know, I think that here's what I think. I think you're right. I think that Trump will win. I think there's no question about that he'll win. But I think there's going to be something that's going to happen. I'm worried that there's going to be, I think I'm going to point blank tell you, I think somebody's going to get shot. I don't care who it is. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, I think she's going to get shot by somebody. If Trump gets elected, I think he's going to get shot by somebody. All back in line with what you were just saying, to create this this unrest and to have people just completely uprise and fight against each other. And I think that we will see possibly a new American Civil War in this country that could then spark off into World War III, as you mentioned. But the manipulation and the levels of this stuff at this point that people have been subjected to, it's just unprecedented. We've seen them. We've known for years that they are manipulating the public. We've known for years they use media and the election cycle and all this stuff to do it. But the levels, as you detailed, the levels that we've reached during this election cycle are completely unprecedented. And there's just no way we can think that no matter what the outcome is of this election, that it's going to end pleasantly. I just don't see how that's possible.
I agree. And I keep seeing Alex Jones and others in what we now call the alt-right saying things like, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Trump's not perfect, but he's the one we have to go for. And if these people have been so deep into this understanding, if you've even read Kathy O'Brien's story, or if you've covered even any a smidgen of what Josh Reeves is showing with the Scientology connections, then you know you can't stand behind any of the candidates that are brought before you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing of it. We're not given, you know, we're not allowed to decide these people on our own. They're pre-decided and predestined for us. And, you know, look at all of the connections with I mean, Trump was friends with the Clintons for years and years and years. There's just no question that he's definitely a part of this plan that they were hatching who knows how many years ago. I mean, if you, like you said, if you look into Kathy O'Brien's work and you look at what she's talked about, and then you combine that with like the research I've done and the research you've done, it's clear that it just seems that they've been planning what's going on right now. And I think people have trouble wrapping their minds around this, that they've been planning what's going on right now for maybe upwards of 30 years, maybe even longer than that. It's been in the works for a very long time. And that's something I find more and more in my research, Freeman, is that, you know, we see that many of the things that are happening in our current age, it almost seems like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, almost like they have deemed all this stuff to happen many years ago, and that the powers that be are just playing out a script and allowing the script to play out exactly they want it to, so it will reach whatever the conclusion is that they want to reach. Now, we could speculate all day, you know, is it World War III? Is it nuclear war? Is it the elimination of 90% of the population? Is it merging with machines and becoming transhumanists and ruling over us as gods? I mean, we could sit here and talk all day about what the possible outcome might be. But the real most important thing that people have to understand is that all of this has been pre-planned. Trump has been put there to do exactly, because think about it like this. Think about the different situations. If he wins, if Trump wins, you're going to have the whole left inside of it that are going to be up in arms and are going to be probably doing like what Farrakhan described, go out and kill cops and the rest of this stuff. You're going to see an uprising on that side. If Hillary wins, you're going to see an uprising on the alt-right, as you mentioned. You're going to see that happen. They have created this thing where no matter who wins or loses, their outcome that they are trying to engineer and create is going to happen either way. And I don't think we've ever seen that in any election cycle before, Freeman.
I'll tell you, we haven't seen much of anything that has happened in this election cycle. It is blowing me away what I am seeing coming out of these people in front of me. And as I mentioned, the Catholic dinner a couple of times, the idea, you know, there are people out there that could spout out Hillary's crimes in a single breath and just lay everything out. I mean, I could probably do it, starting with Waco and working my way up. And yet here I have this stumbling, stuttering presidential candidate reading from a piece of paper, trying to be insulting. And, I'm like, this is the guy? This is the one that we can pick out of everybody? And then all the dark stuff that I know about Hillary, I got to imagine that Kathy O'Brien is just shaking in her boots. I can't get a hold of her except for through email right now. I think she's gone off the grid at this moment, because her story is so damning to Hillary Clinton, and people get caught up. Now, what I want to say, folks, is that we're playing checkers while they're playing chess. All right. We're taking this reactionary stance. We're taking one move at a time. We're jumping over the checker when it's in front of us. Meanwhile, these people are on a chessboard, and they have these moves way planned a long time in the future, and you don't know if that queen is being moved to the front to be sacrificed or to take you into checkmate. And that's what we need to be looking at. We have the cyber threats that everybody's talking about. This is another layer of this very puzzle. And on that day, we had the shutdown of Twitter, of PayPal, of a number of other websites. I was tripping out. I was thinking maybe I need to go pull some money, you know, literal cash out of the bank, because this seemed quite real and it was obviously going on. What a time to be alive right now. And the key ingredient here is not to get caught up in the reactionary stance, to understand that truth movement is guided and controlled by mismedia, by lies and misplaced understandings, and that it will, if you are playing checkers and you are simply being reactionary to the things that are being thrown in front of you, we will be completely displaced by the system of power that has been growing like a cleophot, like an octopus, like Cthulhu all around us. And that's why Josh's work is so important. I highly recommend you get over to theglobalreality.com and follow. I mean, he's been at this, well, how many, over a decade now, right, Josh?
Yeah. I've been researching for 25 years, but I've been on air now for a little over 9 years.
Right. And so, you know, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, he numbers his things in volumes, folks. So just, you know, keep that, because you're going to get so much out of this, because Josh came into this with the understanding of being a reactionary truth movement. I want to stand in the face of this tyranny, and then quickly learned that it is a very subtle game that we are playing, and that you better start looking deeper. And certainly I would have never, ever turned my attention towards Scientology in this puzzle. Now that I have seen the spellcasters, I have a whole nother layer to dig into here with the mind war that we are dealing with. What do you have up and coming? What are you doing right now, Josh, before we head on over into the members section and take this Halloween show to a truly scary level?
Well, right now I'm working on volume two of the Spellcasters. It's going to be focusing a little bit more on the music industry side of things. Still well into mind control and the rest of this stuff, but we're also going to be looking at different deaths of various musicians, famous musicians whose stories we've been told and whose narratives we've been given, and I'm going to be deconstructing those and showing new dot connections. It's new information that's never, a lot of the stuff that's going to be in Spellcasters 2, folks, is not even on the internet right now, and no one else has connected these dots. So it's really going to be looking more into the elements that we haven't been shown. But I just have to commend you, Freeman, that last little thing you did there. You're 100% right. I started out as somebody absolutely who was a reactionary and reaction to this stuff. But that has now morphed into, and when people watch the Spellcasters, they're not going to see, I'm not, you know, trying to force anything down anyone's throat. I'm not trying to convince anything of anyone of anything. I'm simply presenting the information, and I'm so glad that you do that now, and I'm glad that we have been able to figure this out, because as you mentioned, there, you know, we're playing checkers, they're playing chess, and I just, my concern is I'm glad we're starting to figure this out, and I'm glad that we've now made these connections with Scientology, with black magic, and the rest of this stuff. But my concern at this point is, you know, are we too late to the party?
Right. Yes. We've been doing our best, though, absolutely, Josh, to try and tame this monster and help people understand that there is a higher level. Because when you take this knowledge in, folks, and you realize that there is this black magic, there is this satanic spell that is absolutely discussed openly within this whole situation, then your whole reality alters. But that also opens up the aspects of the positive aspects of all of this, the fact that we are these divine beings being guided by a creative force, and that's why we're all here. So it's in the time of the doing, folks, as these things start to unfold, hold your ego in check. Realize, as we all that have been studying this for two decades know, that we don't know. And if you know that much, then at least you can't react in some definitive manner saying, there's the villain, go kill him, which is what they really want out of you. And you're going to remain open. And as long as you're open, then I feel synchronicity and the loving force of the universe will help guide you to the proper places you need to be. So I also want to say I'm very excited to say that on FreemanTV.com, you will find deeper shows into the Council on National Policy. So check out the Suzanne Posel shows. People were angered by her shows because of the things that it showed about the truth movement. And we got deeper into J.D. Salinger and the neuro-linguistic programming with Joseph Atwell. So in the archive section there on FreemanTV.com, you will find deeper and deeper, deeper knowledge of all of these topics that we're discussing. But, you know, Josh, you definitely set some revelations out this time, and I definitely look forward to having you back for the Spellcasters Volume 2.
Absolutely. I can't wait to be here. But I want to mention one thing real quick. You nailed something right there when you talked about this trying to get us to band against an enemy and to react against an enemy. There he is. There's the bad guy. Go and get him. That is absolutely described 100% and the Michael Aquino, Paul Villalle documents I mentioned earlier, the Mind War documents. I encourage people to look into that and read those on their own, because it specifically says in there that we have to convince the American people that there's an outside threat, and that if they band together in grassroots movements, they can together defeat the shadow enemy that's really of their creation. So, again, these things are not Freeman's opinion. They're not my opinion. Folks, this stuff is there, and you can go and look it up and find it out for yourself.
There you have it, folks. We're just trying to bring the truth and our understanding as it is. So have a happy Halloween. I'm sure that November 8th will be a much scarier day than October 31st. So I will be here right along with all of you along this crazy ride as it unfolds. But like an H.P. Lovecraft horror story, we're going to take this Cthulhu party down to cannibalistic giants. We're going to get into Hollywood, UFOs, CIA, alien invasions, and everything that goes into a great horror movie in our second hour here on the Free Zone. So if you're not a member yet, get over to freemantv.com, subscribe. It costs you 23 cents a day. There's nothing to it. Just flip me a quarter, and I will continue to bring you all of these great broadcasts. So please go over to freemantv.com and subscribe. It just helps everything keep going, and you get all this bonus material. So I like it, you like it, and I hope you have really learned a lot from this show. You're going to have to pick up the Spellcasters and get deep into this, because there's a lot more to cover. And when you see it laid out, just flat out, and you got Donald Trump 1% away from, 1 degree away from Scientology, you've got all the crazy MK Ultra connections with Hillary, and we've got this idea that we're going to try and elect somebody to rule over us in some strange fashion that we call democracy. Hi, folks. I'm going to be right here with you. That's all I can tell you. So thank you all for tuning in. And members, join us in the member section as we get deeper and deeper into this Cthulhu mystery.